But when you love his voice that much, and when you love somebody's voice that much, it doesn't matter. They could be reading a grocery list, and you're, you know, Sam Elliott. For me, like that voice, you know, Kiefer Sutherland's got a really good voiceover voice too. Like, you know what,
when
you
have Morgan Freeman,
isn't Morgan Freeman? Yes, Rod Smith for sure. We have to give him love. But isn't Morgan Freeman like the voice of like iPhone or Siri or something? Like, isn't there?
Yeah, I think
like
so. I think he is peddling something.
Did he
right
get
now.
That gig? Siri must be a massive gig. Like, how much would he get paid to be the voice of Siri?
I think I don't want to. You know, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I believe that Morgan Freeman has like some ridiculous, like I think it's on iPhone or something like that. So
it must be an option. I don't think it's like the go-to stock option. Like, I think my Siri is still a woman, and I'm not familiar with who it is. Like,
right.
Which voice
actress it is. Just the Siri voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember. I think it was in. I know it was in Vancouver, but I believe. Who's the actor for Vancouver, the pothead hangover guy?
Oh, Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen. I believe he was doing the voiceover for the subways.
Yes, he was.
For the public transit, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what the response was to that?
Oh, it wasn't positive. There were a lot
of people. No, that's what I thought. Why is that?
Well, I think he acts like a dope, too, doesn't he?
Like he was being a stoner?
I don't know.
I think it was kind of just he was rambling, and I don't even know if it was on the full line. Like, I don't know if it was across the board on the TTC, if they were just testing it out. It was probably the Scarborough line that no one's ever used before anyway. But I think it was something along the lines of he's doing it for free, but he's doing it to promote his movie.
Oh,
and so there were people that were like, wait a minute, like,
how's
this work? Why am I getting on the train? And this guy's like, hey, you know.
Right.
The Green
Vancouver
Lantern
can get
too
very
out.
Touchy about stuff that.
Yeah. But he was kind of like, why are you yelling at me? They asked me to do it. Like, and I did it. Like, leave me alone. It wasn't like it was Seth Rogen's fault. And then there were people that were like, well, he's not from Toronto, so, you know, it should be the King of Kensington or something like that, you know.
Oh, he was doing it in Toronto? I thought he was doing it in Vancouver.
No, he did it. He does it in Vancouver. He did a test run in Toronto. It was in Toronto.
I understand.
For a while.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe he's still the voice of. Of transit in Vancouver,
right,
as far as I know. He was for a while,
that
he might
sense.
Still be. But then he did it in Toronto with the TTC, and then, of course, there had to be blowback on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll see. I'm not sure where that stands right now, Hedge. And I must admit, I haven't been on the TTC in a while.
We'll dig in on that one.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
Absolutely.
All right, we got the president and CEO of the Blue Jays on the line. Here is Mark Shapiro. How you doing, Mark?
I'm starting to wonder if I'm on the wrong show.
That wouldn't be a first.
No, you're
for you,
on the right place here, Mark.
Am I on Entertainment Tonight, or am I on Overdrive?
Yeah, are you a Seth Rogen fan or what?
Like Overdrive. I like Seth Rogen. How can you not be a Seth Rogen fan?
But, yeah,
exactly.
But I was like trying to redo all my prep work and think, well, what am I going to contribute to this? What can I possibly contribute to this conversation?
Well, I guess we'll ask about what concerts you have coming up at the Rogers Center. Anything you could tell us about that? When can we get back in that building? Is that
it would be you guys socially distancing to come listen to me sing, which wouldn't be worth your time. I'd have to pay you a heavy fee to do it.
Right. I'd go viral pretty quick. I think you're selling yourself short. That wouldn't be bad material for us.
Karaoke with Shapiro, why not?
I think
exactly. That would be a good career ender for me.
Yes, I think it would be. Exactly. Yeah. And after 7 months where we haven't gotten out, I'd take it right now. Honestly, Mark, I'd take it.
That's where we are.
No, you're on the right show. And we were talking about... this earlier in the hour, actually earlier in the afternoon, with the rapid testing potentially coming to airports in the country and what that means for sports in 2021. And that's where we are. Like, that's the kind of information we're hanging on to.
I know.
Are you in the same boat? Like, are you waiting for info?
Well, my default is to be optimistic anyway. So I think news like that, even if it's not completely news yet, just gives kind of more reason to be optimistic. I think we're dealing, you know, we've dealt since March 14th when we left Dunedin, it's been a forever changing and uncertain landscape. I think the only thing that's been consistent has been the uncertainty. So I think for us to have real and meaningful, you know, understanding of what the future looks like, it's things like that. It's either an advance in testing that allows us to open the border. More importantly, it's probably a vaccine that's widely distributed and actually taken by a large portion of the population. But I think about those things, but then I usually get back to, okay, what can you control? And that certainly is not something you can control. So I usually get back to what I can control.
Well, and I'm assuming you can control spring training in the plans, right? Like, you guys will be in Dunedin. Is that the plan?
Yeah.
And that's where things are going to start, at the very least.
Unless something industry-wide happens where, as a group, MLB says, hey, we're going to change the construct, postpone. But nothing like that's been talked about. We actually haven't, MLB's had so much on their hands to manage through. We haven't even gotten to the discussion. We still have to figure out what minor league baseball looks like and if it's going to be played next year before we get to kind of what happens and what probably is the easiest decision, which is spring training.
Right. With Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays. So I think from a fan perspective, the unknown is where you're going to be playing. If you're playing here, can we get in the building? You're not surprised by that. Fans are dying to see the team play live. But again, you can't control it. We can't control it. We won't know that until down the road. And then, right, I think that the next item when it comes to COVID and the reality of what we're dealing with right now for fans is maybe a little bit of anxiety in terms of pitching to free agents and being the only team that couldn't play at home last year. And will that affect the building of this team? And I'm sure you're thinking about that as well. But what can you tell fans who are concerned about that if you pick up the phone and call a free agent in a month and his first question is, well, where are you playing? And that might affect my answer. You know, how do you make a pitch considering all this uncertainty?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things kind of, come to me first, which is the biggest thing. You know, we'd sell two things to a free agent. One of those is certainly what we feel is incredibly compelling, which is to play in Toronto and to represent all of Canada. And that's something that over the course of a big free agent contract, it will unlikely be a one-year deal. The player that comes here would be doing for the majority, if not all, of that contract. So we'll still sell Toronto because it's the place that we clearly want to play and where we want to play and be next year. And I'm hopeful to pretty confident that at some point next baseball season we will play here, whether that's the start or sometime during the year. Secondly, what we sell is our team, that we think we've got a special group of players who are great teammates, who are incredibly talented, who have a really, really positive, upswing and trajectory towards a championship. So a player that wants to win, that wants to be part of a really fun, good group of guys that are tough, determined, show tremendous perseverance, and focus on winning a championship, this is a great place to come. And that is certain regardless of any other variable that exists. This year, that was on display for everybody to see. So when I think about selling those guys, it's always about finding a fit, right? You have to align with a free agent. Geography, not necessarily the country, but north, south, east, west, those are issues. Where spring training is an issue. Sometimes manager, coach, pitching coach, hitting coach, teammates, all those things, become issues and variables in a free agent equation. But I think we've got a lot of positive things to pitch. Where that player will play over the bulk of his, contract here is among the strongest, but our team is one that is also pretty special.
Well, and they're also is the potential for turnover from within the system. I mean, you guys have built up a pretty good farm system here, and you are a young team, and we focus a lot on the young guys, but you got more coming here. How much should we be expecting in terms of, younger guys being in the fold for jobs come spring training and the potential that some new names, some young guys who we've been hearing about for a while, might have the ability to crack the lineup come 2021?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a balance in that. We transitioned a lot of guys faster because of the unique circumstance this year. I mean, I don't think any of us thought that Alejandro Kirk would be here straight from Dunedin, to the major leagues. That was obviously exceptional. Guys like, Hatch and Kay and got extended opportunities that, probably would have been mostly at AAA and in Buffalo, and they did well, I think that we'll balance those things. There certainly is a benefit for experience and the stability that a veteran brings, but we'll only look to bring that experience to an area where we need to get better. where we could significantly improve either defensively, offensively, or, you know, on the mound. And while we had an incredibly encouraging year, and we'll continue to build around the core of young talent, including the talent you mentioned that's still coming, you know, we're going to supplement with experienced championship caliber players that, you know, add to our team and help give us a more certain chance of winning next year.
I don't know how well you know our show, but Alejandro Kirk has been front and center as far as conversational piece.
He's a good conversation.
Yes, he but is.
He's awesome.
He just hooks all of us with pear-shaped bodies.
Yes,
well,
he does.
That's what it is.
Talking to a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So take us through your thought process with him. You know, what's special about him, what you love about him, and where you actually see him going, too, as a player.
Yeah, I mean, every single thing is special about him except for the thing that we just kind of made light of, that he's got to tighten that up, because longevity is, while it's funny and probably makes him appealing, you know, as an everyman kind of player, his skills are Superman skills. They're not everyman skills. And so his hit, his approach to hit, his aggressiveness, selective aggressiveness, you know, is impressive. That was on display, making the jump from A ball to the major leagues this year against some exceptional, you know, pitching, even in the playoffs. You know, and his ability to be a very good defender, soft hands, framing, athletic throwing, but, you know, for longevity, for sustainability, in a game that is the ultimate test of endurance and the ultimate test of playing every day. Over 162 games, the course of a grueling season, he's going to need to do the hard work, and we're really encouraged by his commitment to doing that already. It's certainly something we've talked to him about in the past. But when you're a young person, able to do what he's able to do without making those changes, it's hard to think about the future. But I think he recognizes now just what's out there for him if he's able to make that physical adjustment to match the fundamental, you know, foundation that's already there.
Mark, we've seen how much COVID has obviously affected the game of baseball and sports across the board. Right now in the NHL offseason, we're seeing guys just not getting these huge deals right now because the money just isn't there. Now, that's in a salary cap, and baseball obviously doesn't have one, but there still aren't fans in the stands, and we're not sure when that's going to be. Has there been the same sort of belt tightening that you've found across Major League Baseball as well when it comes to players and contracts and money in and money out, or not so severe perhaps in baseball as we're seeing it in other leagues?
Yeah, Jen, it's a good question. I mean, I actually called Brendan Shanahan a couple of days ago just to kind of get his take on how he thought it's transpired, you know, in the NHL and free agency. You know, I don't have a great sense to answer that yet. I only know our circumstance, which is, you know, yes, we're going through a very difficult, challenging time as a business, and our revenues are, you know, impacted beyond anything I ever imagined and are clearly going to be impacted on a multi-year basis. What's incredibly encouraging is that we have an ownership group that has given me and Ross the encouragement to continue to execute on a plan. I think they believe in the progress we've made, and they said, you know, if the right deal is out there that you think continues to build around the core of young talent you have, go after that. I'm not sure how many teams will be in that position. If I had to guess, it will be a handful of teams in the biggest markets, you know, with the largest, you know, historic revenues that can look at it more as a kind of a step in the road that we have to get past rather than a long-term challenge. And I do think while it may be 1, 2, or 3 years for us to get over it, it ultimately will be something we do get over, and we will move past it, and we will get back to normalcy. So with that confidence and with a really strong ownership group that is supportive, we're not going to be impacted as much as a lot of people. But your question's a good one. I don't yet know how it's going to impact, because free agency hasn't started for us, and it won't until we get to the World Series. And when it does, we will certainly be very agile in how we adapt to what that market does.
With Mark Shapiro, well, you look at the World Series, and you've got two teams, as you know, that are on completely different ends of the spectrum when it comes to payrolls. The Dodgers are second in payroll, and they're just behind the Yankees. And I think when that Mookie Betts deal kicks in, they're going to skyrocket past them. And the Rays are 28th in baseball in terms of dollars spent on their payroll. And over the years, I'll admit, I've been a victim of this. I'll yell and scream from time to time, go spend money, go splash money. I think, you know, if I had a preference, I'd like to see you guys spend $300 million a year. Why not? It's not my money.
That's your vote.
Exactly. That's my vote. But then I look at Tampa, and they consistently do this every single year. And
they do it.
They don't spend the money. So, as a guy from your standpoint, I guess I'm putting more pressure on you, Mark, and I think we all should be in a way.
Yeah.
Because even if the money isn't there, you still can find the talent and develop the talent and win. Tampa's proving that.
Yeah. I did that for a lot of my career in Cleveland, and that foundation is still there and still winning, and still had a very successful year this year. But there are immense challenges to that and immense turnover to a team that makes it really hard for fans to buy into players. There's not a better run franchise in Major League Baseball than the Tampa Bay Rays. And Kevin Cash is among the best managers out there as well in maximizing the talent that he has. But there are multiple ways to do it. There's not one way. Believe it or not, a lot of the things that Tampa does well are a lot of the same things that the Dodgers do well, surprisingly. And they both make the best decisions possible, whether it's in-game management, whether it's drafting, whether it's trading. I feel like we've built the foundation of doing the same things, and the improvement in our player development system, the improvement in our influx of talent and our foundation of young talent is going to continue to show itself at the major league level over time. But your answer is it's much harder. Sustaining it is almost impossible at the major league level, but not impossible. But it can be done, and no one has done it better than Tampa.
Well, and when I think of Tampa, I think of the two areas that you addressed yesterday when you were speaking with the media, and I think of defense and throwing strikes. And I like how you phrased it that way, not just getting arms. You said we want guys who are going to come in here and throw strikes. And generally, I think of that as defining a bullpen, and Tampa's done that better than anyone we've seen in a long time. I mean, a historically great bullpen. It was on display last night. Anderson comes in, throws smoke. Fairbanks, Castillo, even Luke, the guy you're familiar with. Is that kind of what you're focused on, though, when you say throwing strikes? I mean, ideally, your starters are doing that clearly, and they're making a lot of money to do it. But how do you build a bullpen like that with just smoke and just hammering the strike zone?
Well, they paid a lot to get those guys. Those were expensive trades and gave up a lot of young talent to do it. There's multiple ways to do it. You can spend in free agency, or you can trade for, or you can develop those guys. So I think we saw some pretty impressive young arms come up in bullpen roles this year, and in a very rushed fashion. Ryan Borucki was throwing as hard and as well as almost anybody has seen there, just a little bit inconsistent as to be expected with a young player. Thomas Hatch at times was as dominant as any of those guys. So some of it is, will those guys be starters or bullpen guys for us? Or where will we supplement either through trade or free agency? So I would expect that, when I say strike throwing, it's just something as a pitching staff, we're making it harder on our team and harder on ourselves to prevent runs if we're giving guys free passes. So, it's an area we clearly need to improve. But it's all about just a very simple equation. We have to score more and prevent more. And if you do that, you're going to win more. And so we just look for opportunities to do those, either one of those things, any way we can as we go into an offseason, and stay flexible about how we do that.
Well, as far as staying flexible, there's really nothing that's been a bigger change, I think, right now when you're watching the World Series than pitching. You look last night with the Dodgers, they had 7 pitchers go out there. The Rays, of course, were the ones that started the whole opener idea. Where do you stand on this sort of new school versus old school approach, Mark? Are you a guy who likes it the old way with you have your opening pitcher and they pitch 6 or 7 innings and then you go to the bullpen, or do you like where things are going with this sort of pitch by committee and on any given day you could have 3 pitchers pitching or you could have 10 guys pitching?
Yeah, well, by chronological age, I just fall into the old guy category.
Okay.
But I think I have a simple answer for you. I'm a guy who likes to win. That's the answer. I want to win. Yeah. And I think as I've progressed over my career and seen the progression of how we make decisions and the information that's given us to make decisions, I've seen improvements in how we, tend to players' health and well-being. I've seen improvements on how we develop and teach and coach players, both from an equipment and technology perspective. So when I see teams deploy pitchers differently within a game, I don't get bitter about it. I don't try to debate it. I just try to determine, is that the best way to do it? Can it be done better? You know, you don't want to just follow. A lot of times that is kind of that's not necessarily because that's what they want to do, but out of necessity because they don't feel like they have the starters who can get 18 outs or 15 outs. And so the best way to do it, again, it always gets back to they're trying to prevent runs, right? Find any way to score runs or find any way to prevent runs. That was the kind of the roots and the origin of the shift. It's the roots of the creative, you know, application of the bullpen and pitching multiple pitchers. And I think there'll probably be things we're not thinking about that really smart people, far smarter than me, tend to continue to do as the game evolves. So I tend not to focus bitterness on the way the game's evolving, just to think about how can we get better and how can we find a competitive edge that someone else hasn't found yet so that we can win and beat people, because that's what we want to do.
Well, we look forward to seeing how you find those answers and you apply them to this offseason and future offseasons. And we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for doing this, Mark.
Yeah, great to be on with you guys. Have a great evening. We'll have to get back together again in the middle of winter when we need a little blast of baseball and
yes.
About the spring.
Oh, we'll be bugging you. You know it. The emails will be coming, Mark.
Let's do it.
Make
right.
sure you answer them. We'll talk down the road. Thank
okay,
you, Mark.
See you guys.
Hey, Mark Shapiro, our president and CEO of the Blue Jays. I think he gave you a good answer in terms of the fact that they're not going to be as hit as other teams, which is, I think, what Blue Jay fans are hoping for. Now, we'll mm-hmm. see how the offseason plays out,
right?
You know, but they're not going to be spending like the Yankees or the Dodgers or, you know, maybe a couple of the other upper echelon teams that I think we've come to understand and expect, but they're also not going to be Tampa or,
no.
you know, Baltimore the past couple of years where they just have no one on the payroll. They're going to spend some money if they have it, and the players are right, and we'll see what that means. That's what you got to hope for if you're a Blue Jay fan.
And he gave Hedge the old, that's a really good question.
Yeah. I just noticed that.
You saw that.
Yeah. You're the only one that got it, Hedge.
Oh, yeah.
You're the big winner.
Yeah, you did. Woo! But, I mean, it was a good question, and I thought he gave us some thoughtful answers.
I thought he did, too. And, you know, in the whole pitching thing, because I am old school. Like, when I was watching that game last night, I just miss the rhythm of a baseball game. You know, your starting pitcher coming in and the sort of the, I don't know if it's excitement or depends who you're rooting for, but when the starting pitcher's getting lit up and then they have to go to the pen earlier than they want to, and are we going to be able to stretch this out until our closer comes in, until Rivera comes? I love sort of the rhythm of a baseball game like that. And I just found last night when there's a different pitcher in every inning for the Dodgers, it just messes with the flow. You know, it just messes.
Bullpen. They had seven pitchers last night and they only gave up six runs, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like they're, if this was, and I know it's not, but if this was 30 years ago, like that would have been Jack Morris going nine innings and mm-hmm. losing 6-4. He would have lost 6-4, but pitched mm-hmm. all nine innings. And they'd be like, yeah, right. I gave up six over nine. Like, you know, a couple got away from him. That's okay. But
and it's crazy with the record books, too, because you see, you know, stats from last night. The opening pitcher, I think he went like one and two-thirds or something last
yep.
night for
Gonsolin,
yeah, and yep. You know, so he goes down now. He ties whoever, Babe Ruth or whoever it was, for the, you know, the shortest opening in a World Series. Well,
yeah,
it doesn't
which is
even
bogus.
Count.
He wasn't not, going. He wasn't going.
He
went,
no,
he was never
they
getting
only wanted
through.
Two innings out of that guy. So it's
yeah,
I agree.
I gotta listen to Mark. I gotta be less rigid. I need to be more agile and evolve with this game.
Even the reaction of Blake Snell last night, who like he had nine strikeouts and he pitched well. He went four. Two-thirds. That isn't yeah. some historical start that we're going to yeah. remember in 20 years. And
yeah.
it also speaks to, you know, how focused we are on the pitching with this team. What won that game last night was the bats came alive. They had 10 mm-hmm. hits. Brandon Lau went deep twice.
Yeah.
And that is what won Tampa the game. But you don't hear that from anyone. It's all Blake Snell. Wow, mm-hmm. it was great. The pitching. He went 4 2/3, and he
yeah.
gave up two earned runs. And that is not... That's a completely
it's
forgettable
It's not a complete
start.
Game.
It's not. Yeah.
Sorry, not a complete game. It's
not
a
it's
start.
Not a quality
it's
start.
Not a quality start. No.
Yeah. It's not even close to a quality start. Like, it's a completely unforgettable start. Mm-hmm. But in 2020, it's, wow, can you believe it? Blake Snell saved them last night.
That's the analytics. That's the numbers, right?
That's right.
The computer says this, so
yep.
go ahead.
Yep. It's shocking you get into the fifth inning if you're a starter.